Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it has this written. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. And therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Good morning to you. We do have visitors with us and we're grateful for your presence. We are so honored that you would join us on this first day of the week to worship God, to study a portion of His Word together, to break bread together, and to glorify our God and Savior while we encourage one another. We have several things going on here and around this area. We are having our singing night this evening. So we want to invite you back for that. Each and every one that could be able to be here, please be here. Men that would like to lead a song, feel free to, you can join the building this evening. Eric's got a list signed up already, so you can just write down your song or a number you'd like to sing. And we have a great reason to rejoice this morning for, as mentioned by Brother Dwight, that we have Sister Jan and Sister Jessica, who are baptized with Christ yesterday morning. And grateful for that. And as we all look to encourage one another, we hope to encourage and to build them up during the rest of their lives as they walk and follow after Christ. We have a very difficult walk as we walk after Christ. Because as we have just read here, there is a need for armor. And with there being a need for armor, that means that there is indeed a battle. And though our battle is not with flesh and blood, as it would appear to be, but against the principalities and the darkness of this world, against things in the heavenly realms. And we think about these things, and a lot of times we understand as we sit in this building this morning that, okay, we got it. We're soldiers of Christ. We've sang all these songs about being ready for battle and war, and we got that, and I'm on the Lord's side. I'm going to be in the Lord's army. There's a story about a preacher who had been encouraging someone to come to church and to be part of church. And as he exited the building, he met this man who had not been to church in quite a while. And he said, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen you, brother. I just want to make sure you know that God needs all His people in the Lord's army. He said, well, I'm in the Lord's army. He said, well, I mean, you need to show up for drill then. You know, if you're in the Lord's army, you need to be here. He said, well, I can't. I'm in the secret service of the Lord's army. So, you know, everybody thinks they've got their own part in the Lord's army. And so we have to have this in mind. And while we're here, we get that. And we understand that. And we understand there's bad people outside these walls. The Satan is winning over people and they're going to attack us. And Satan is going to attack us. And we leave out of here and we forget about all that battle stuff. And we catch ourselves a lot of times after the battle is over. And we sit there thinking, you know, what have I done? You know, you sit there with regret. You sit there with all of these emotions wrapped around you. You feel this self-disgust and self-accusation and self-condemnation of, you know, why did I do this? Why did I give in? I know better. I know what's right and I know what's wrong. And why is it that I keep doing the thing that is wrong? Why do I keep losing this battle? And you sit there and you worry and you have this disappointment and you're very apologetic toward it and you repentant toward it and you call on God to forgive you for it. And then the moment goes away. And before you realize it again, you're back in battle. And we should be on the forefront of our minds. We should always be preparing for battle. And in the time of year of which we are in, with the seasons changing and everything's warming up and people are planting stuff in the ground and things are going good, we oftentimes we have this illusion that our eye can get drawn away from doing the things that we know, the things that we ought to be doing. Young people have graduation that they're looking forward to, and some of the colleges have just recently started walking, and all of this rejoicing and excitement and this idea that, you know, I've completed something that very few people have, and I commend you for it, and that's great, but we can't forget about the battle. And some people are getting ready to graduate high school and to go on to bigger and better things and to, you know, make the most out of their lives, and that's great, and I encourage you to do that, but don't forget about the battle. And we decide that we're going to go on vacation and we're going to take a few weeks off of work maybe, or a week or 6 hours or whatever you might can scrap away with, and you're just going to get away. But don't forget about the battle. And so many times we get all these things on our mind and we forget about the battle. And we need to be preparing for the battle that is at hand. Because we are in the middle of a war. And there are far too many people that do not know how to use their armor. They do not know the purpose of their armor. And they sure don't know how to use their weapon. And we need to be able to stand before our adversary. And knowing our weapon. Frontwards and backwards. We need to know how to take our gun apart and put it back together again. If you remember the movie Forrest Gump. And Forrest Gump sitting there, and he has taken apart. I think he may have had a four. I can't remember what particular model his rifle was, but he's taken it apart. He's took that thing apart, and he put it back together. And his drill sergeant comes and yells in his ear. He said, "Private Gump, why did you put that gun together so fast?" He said, "'Cause you told me to, drill sergeant." And that's exactly, he said, "Well, that's the best answer I've ever heard." You know, but the point of that training is, if something goes wrong with your gun in the middle of battle, you need to know how to take that gun apart and put it back together so that you don't get killed. And if you don't know how to do that right now, and we don't train you to do that, and you know how to do all of those things right now when nobody's shooting at you, you sure aren't going to be able to do it when somebody's shooting at you. If you don't come to church and you don't sharpen your sword and you don't learn your Bible, when are you learning to use your weapon? Because when the Satan is attacking you, is not the time you need to be trying to figure out how to flip through Scripture and or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and letter to the Romans. Where is Galatians? Why is Hebrews and James? Why? You need to know your Bible. And you need to know where to go and what type of situation you're in. And time and time again, we have this idea that it's just, well, you know, we'll figure it out. And we'll fly by the seat of our pants. And I'm a big fan of that. We'll figure it out as we go. But when it is time for battle, it is not time to just be winging it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 said, "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And you have access to the Word of God if you are in this building. If you do not have a personal binded book, take home, smell the old pages Bible, and you want one, let me know. I'll get you one. If you want to use a phone, a tablet, some kind of electronic device to use your phone and get all these different translations and versions of it, go ahead. If you want access to the sword, to the Word of God, to know your weapon, you are of any generation of people without excuse. We live in a time where if anybody should know their Bible, it ought to be us. We have it at our fingertips at truly, honestly, every beck and call. All we got to do is just want to. Just want to show it. I just want to look at it. I want to read it. I want to watch it. I want to sit there and I want to clean my weapon. I want to sharpen it up. When Jesus was under attack from Satan, he too looked to his sword in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it has this to say, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan.' And for a third time he said, 'For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' And then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him." Jesus knew his weapon. He knew the Bible. He knew the Word of God. He knew how to execute professionally against the attacks of Satan. As it may be that he said, "Hey, if this is the situation, if this is the case, I've got this verse. If this is the case, I've got this command from God. If this is the case," he is ready on every front. He has spent time in understanding and comprehending the Word of God and what to do when you become under attack. He didn't have to wander. He didn't have to look through the Torah and try to find some law or some commandment that said, "Can I or can I not? Should I or should I not?" He knew what God had for him to do in his life. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. He knew exactly what to do. He knew exactly what was expected of him. And he stood prepared to face the devil in his battle in that time. And becoming well acquainted with your weapon and becoming well established in the Scriptures and knowing where things are and knowing and understanding the old and the new and how everything ties together. And as we grow in sharpening our sword, you become a little bit more confident. You become encouraged. You become a little bit more assured and steadfast that I am doing what I ought to be doing. And in doing this, we oftentimes become like someone who is a crack shot. You know, a crack shot at marksmanship may say, "I shoot better than anybody in here. You know, y'all want to go to the range? I'll show you how good I shoot." And that too may happen to you as a Christian. You may have a few successes in battle and you say, "You know, I saw the temptation beforehand. I was prepared for battle. I saw the temptation beforehand. I'm not looking in hindsight anymore going, 'Oh, I didn't even see the battle coming. I got flanked.' But now you're meeting it head on and you're ready and you see that and you go, 'Hey, I saw that temptation. I didn't yield to sin. I'm doing pretty good. Because I'm able to know how to use my weapon, I'm doing pretty good.'" We cannot become prideful just because maybe you've won a couple of battles. You can't be taking a time to go off and say, "You know what? We need some R&R. You're still under battle. You're still in the middle of a war. You have to always be ready. You must always be ready to give a defense for anyone who asks you of the hope that is in you." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives a very, very interesting thing in verse 6 about how he could have become prideful. He says, "Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul knew that his thorn in the flesh was to keep him humble and to keep him on guard, to know the fact that, you know, I don't always have it together. I know for a fact that there are times where I have messed up, I will mess up, but I must always be prepared to reveal the Word of God to those who are around me who are in the darkness. And one of all things that Paul had to be prideful of and to be proud of and to be glad of who he was and who he came from and what my name is. In chapter 3 and verse 4, this latter part of that verse beginning there, if someone thinks that they have reason to put confidence in flesh, I have more. If anybody can brag about who they are, it's me. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. Paul knew that he was given this thorn in the flesh so that he can maintain focus, so that he can maintain humility, so that he can remain engaged in battle. I do not know what it is that for you as an individual that you must think about, that you must dwell on as your inspiration to go into battle. But if you can think about that every day, if you can think about the inspiration that you have inside of you every day to be ready for battle, to go into battle, to meet it head on, and you've got a sharpened sword, well, you're ready. And we should never forget, the whole purpose of all of this is to bring salvation unto the world and to be on guard ourselves and to take care of our family and our church family so that Satan could not sneak in nor destroy anyone as a wolf in sheep's clothing. But time and time again, that is so difficult to do. It's so difficult to face Satan day after day after day. And you might decide, you know, I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to study more. And you're like, man, that's difficult. There's 66 of them books. There's a lot, you know. And you try to look at it. I'll just break it down into small sections. When I was a little kid, I know this probably seems kind of far-fetched, but there was a bully at school. And that bully at school would take whatever he wanted. And he was ready to beat up anybody. Well, I had a dollar. He wanted a dollar because that's what it costs to get a grape of coke and a bag of Lay's potato chips. At break, you give me your dollar. No, I'm not going to give you my dollar. I'm going to take your dollar. Go ahead, try to take my dollar. And he took my dollar. And so then this repeated again the next day. He said, give me your dollar. I said, I'm not going to give you my dollar. He said, well, I'm going to take your dollar. I said, go ahead, try to take my dollar. He took a dollar again. So I hit up one of my older buddies, neighbor friend of mine. I said, now, what do I need to do? He said, well, you're gonna have to fight him. He said, that's the only way you're gonna take care of that bully. You're gonna have to give him more than a dollar's worth of pain, or he won't be discouraged to take that dollar from you. I said, okay. I said, well, you train me? He said, yeah, I'll train you. I'll train you how to fight. I said, all right, that sounds good. So we trained that first day. I said, oh, yeah. He said, now don't go tomorrow and don't go fight tomorrow. He said, you need to come back and let me train you for about a week. I said, okay. He said, so we got there and he got there the next evening and I said, all right. I said, I'm ready for my lesson. He said, well, I meant to tell you this yesterday. He said, the first lesson's free. He said, but the second lesson's $5. I said, I guess I'll just give my bully my dollar. I come out way ahead on this deal. And that's the way we are with Satan. It's like, well, I'm going to go. I know he's going to try to get me every day for something. And I know I could go put in time and I could go put in effort and I could try to study and to learn what God would have for me to do in my life. But, you know, it's just so much easier just to go face Satan, and maybe I'll win one every now and then, and maybe I won't, because I don't want to put in the effort. If I'd have just paid him $5 for 3 or 4 lessons, I'd have paid for itself in a month, wouldn't it? I don't know why we continually go out into the world when all it takes is just a little bit of effort to study, to learn, and to know the Word of God. Because He's already given you the victory. He's already showed you the way. He's already taught you everything that you need to know. And we need to always remember that our victory is in Jesus. It is not anywhere else. It does not reside on what I can do or how strong I am or how big and bad I may be. Our victory is in Jesus and in Him alone. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Does every part inside of you go that I know that Jesus is the Son of God? Because of something that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He paid. In John chapter 18, verse 33, you think about Jesus, everything that He had done just a few hours before this, praying all night, being taken captured, and His prayer unto God was, "Give me the strength." His prayer was the fact that, "Let this cup pass from me. If it cannot pass from me, strengthen me that I may drink it. I don't want to do this, but if I have to do this, and give me the strength to do it. Encourage me to do it." And all of it leading up, and even to this point here, and this just stands out so fondly. If you think about Jesus asking for strength to restrain Himself to follow through with God's plan. In John chapter 18, verse 33, "Then Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked Him, 'Are you the King of the Jews?'" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is this you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, Jesus had already had to tell Peter, "You put up your sword. Put your sword back where it goes. Holster your weapon. Do you not know that at my command I can call 12 legions of angels to come down? I can be rescued. There is no need for me to be arrested. There's no need for me to be whooped, beaten, and tried, and be put to death. All I have to do is say the word, Peter. But I can't right now. That can't be done right now. Because I must drink this cup." And Jesus is telling Pilate, the ruler over Judea, He's saying, if I wanted to fight you, Bubba, I wouldn't be here. There would be no fight. You wouldn't have me in these chains and bondage in front of you. If I wanted to fight, I would fight and you would not win. I can guarantee it. No matter your Roman soldiers and how long they've trained, it would not be a fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. It is from another place. And Pilate said, "You are a king then." And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus says, I've got a reason to be here. My reason to be here was established long ago when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. That the kingdom would be established by the perfect, spotless, beautiful Lamb of God. As that sacrifice is made on behalf of the world, that all those who cleanse themselves in it would gain the victory over death and sin and over Satan. But if Jesus were to fight in this moment with Pilate, if Jesus were to fight in the Garden of Gethsemane, all of that is over. But see, He swallowed up all of that, all of the confidence, all of the strength. He took all of that in and He said, "I must do this because I love them." and having the ability to beat someone and overcome someone and conquer them in the flesh, and to then withhold that. If I could have beat up that bully so I could have got a grape of coal and a pack of chips, you don't doubt for a minute I would have. If I knew, I said, well, I could take him, ain't no problem. Just one punch. And Jesus, all he has to do is say the word, and he doesn't have to be murdered. But yet, as a lamb before his shearers are silent, so he opened not his mouth. We should be on guard to always submit ourselves to God and God's will and do that through faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing that God then took Jesus, who had faith in Him, to say, I will raise you from the dead, and Jesus went through with it. We too must have the same kind of faith that says, Father, I do not understand how. I don't necessarily know how you're going to pull all this off, but I've got faith and I trust you. That you're going to do this. And I'm going to keep on keeping on the way that you have guided me, the way that you have directed me, the way you have written down for me to follow. I'm going to keep on doing those things knowing that you have got my back. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We must always be aware and understand that we must always fight the good fight for faith. And that is what we're commanded to do. That's what we must be ready to do. We must prepare ourselves for that battle. Because when we walk out of here, there are going to be those flaming arrows that we're going to have to defend against. There's going to be things attacking our head and our feet and our shins and our chest. Our ways to hold it all together. And we must always be ready to fight the good fight of faith. We must always submit ourselves to God and His will. James chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us that if we submit ourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. On that cross of Calvary, Jesus stood, laid there, nailed, having resisted the devil, having submitted himself unto God, having done everything that he was commanded to do, having done everything that was laid out for him to complete, he did. And as he was nailed to that cross, and after he had cried thirsting for water, he yelled out one last thing. It is finished. It is finished. When I'm ready to go from this earth, I wonder if I will have the strength to say, it is finished. The battle is over. There is no more war. Because in faith there is a victory. And Jesus understood that. Jesus knew that. And with His life given up on that cross, it was not only finished for Him, it wasn't just God's will was over, but victory was given to everyone who had washed themselves in His blood. And if you're here this morning and you have not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, there is no reason for you to leave here and to depart from here to go to war not properly covered. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.